Father, we want to thank you. We want to bless your holy name and give you praise. We ask for the spirit of revelation and wisdom. Teach us your ways, for without you we can do nothing. We ask that you fill us with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that we will walk worthy of you unto all pleasing and bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. This morning we ask for miracles. We ask for glory. We ask for favor in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Please be seated. You are welcome to our empowerment service. And I believe that your life will never be the same. Hallelujah. Are you ready for the word? I'm not feeling you here. Are you ready for the word? So we want to continue with our teaching on the three pursuits for the manifestation of glory. Now, what we are teaching is very important, because if you are not experiencing glory in your life, it's because you are deficient of something the Word of God has said that you are not doing. So we took a time to explain one very important pursuit that every child of God must take so serious if he wants to see the manifestation of glory. I told you last week that every child of God, by virtue of the Holy Spirit living in you, has a certain dimension of glory. The Holy Ghost in you is actually the full content of God's glory. But the Holy Ghost in your spirit becoming a reality in through your soul and into your body for all to see comes by a certain process. It's not automatic. If you want the Holy Spirit to manifest glory through your life, there is a protocol. And that is what I'm teaching you here. So we began to look at wisdom as the first of the pursuits that every child of God must have. And we have explained to you that when we speak of wisdom here, we are not speaking of the wisdom, we are not speaking of the information you acquired in school. This wisdom is the wisdom of God. And Minister Godwin has done justice already, so I want to continue because I don't have time at all. We began to look at how to access the heavenly wisdom. I want to throw a little light on what we mean by heavenly wisdom. To walk in heavenly wisdom is seeing things from God's perspective and responding with biblical principles. When we speak of heavenly wisdom, we are speaking of seeing things from God's perspective and responding with biblical principles. So a man who is filled with heavenly wisdom is a man that sees what God sees, how God sees it. He sees from the perspective of God. And then he responds with biblical principles. So if there's an issue in the marriage, how will God have addressed the issue if he were in the marriage? How you respond with biblical principles shows wisdom. If someone offends you, how you respond is a determination of how wise you are or how unwise you are. And wisdom only comes from God, and wisdom is only determined by God. So we said that number one, the first access or the first means of accessing the wisdom of God is by receiving Christ. And we saw in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the verse 24, which tells us that Christ is the wisdom of God and the power of God. We want to take some further scriptures as we continue. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the verse 30, the Bible says, "But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who has been made unto us," what? Wisdom. So Jesus has been made unto us wisdom. That means we reason through life from the perspective of Christ, because he is the wisdom we operate with. Please, are we following this thing? So Christ has been made unto us wisdom from God. Praise God. Now, Colossians chapter 2, the verse 3, the Bible says, Christ, in whom are hid the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, interestingly, the word treasure in Greek is thesaurus. Now, a thesaurus is actually a storehouse of words and treasury. It's a treasury. A thesaurus, I mean, it's also a kind of dictionary where you have all kinds of synonyms and antonyms in it. So every kind of word is found in a thesaurus. So it's a treasury of words, or it's a storehouse where you keep treasures. So the Bible is telling us that Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures, the thesaurus of wisdom. In other words, you can't find wisdom outside of Christ. Which means every subject about life must be defined from God's perspective. Every subject, every topic, every word can only be understood within the parameters of Christ. So all the treasures of wisdom are hid in him. And because he lives in you, you have access to the hidden wisdom which is in Christ, who is in you. My goodness. Number two, we said the second means or the second way of accessing wisdom is by asking God through prayer. If you have noticed that you have taken so many decisions that are not wise, or you have noticed that you are not manifesting wisdom, you will need to pray about it. In Ephesians chapter 1, the verse 15 to 17, the Apostle Paul prayed for the Ephesian church and said, ever since I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for one another, I did not cease to make mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of what? Wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So it's a prayer. You can pray for the spirit of wisdom. Wisdom is a spirit. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask. And this is a prayer you may have to pray all the days of your life. Because listen, any moment you lack wisdom can be deadly for you. So any situation you are going through today, it is because you lack wisdom one way or the other in that situation. Financial situation, there is a solution in the scriptures. I'm teaching good here. In the book of Colossians chapter 1 verse 9, Paul prayed that we be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So it's a prayer you must pray. Apostle Paul knew how to pray that prayer. And today's message is beginning from the third. The third means or the third way of accessing heavenly wisdom is studying and obeying scripture. Please pay attention, because your life depends on this teaching. Studying and obeying scripture. Now, amazingly, in the book of James chapter 1 from the verse 22 down to 25, the Bible says that be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Which means a Christian can deceive himself if he's only hearing the word of God and not doing them. So anything you know in the word of God you are not practicing is self-deception according to scripture. Then it goes on to the next verse, the verse 23. He says, for if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man looking, beholding his natural face in a mirror. That's the word glass. And the next verse says that, for he beholded himself as and goeth his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. Look at the next verse. I love this. Can we read together loudly? One, two, go. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in what? No, I taught in the book of Ephesians 1:3, the Bible says we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. There is an aspect of blessing you already have, and there's an aspect of blessing that only comes by obedience. The Bible says this man will be blessed in his deed, every deed. Which man is that? The man that hears the word, does not forget the word, and does the word. In fact, he says doer of the work. He didn't say doer of the word. Which means obeying scripture is what you have been employed to do by God. So the Christian's business is actually obeying the word of God. That's your true spiritual occupation. Your salary in the spirit is in your obedience. I'm teaching good, yeah? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. He says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation. So the scripture has the capacity, the capability, and the ability to make you wise unto salvation. I love the word of God, the book of Psalm 19, the verse 7. He says, the law of the Lord is what? Perfect, converting the soul. I love the next one. He says, the testimony of God is sure, making wise the simple. Give that to me in NLT and see that for yourself. I love the word of God. Now look at that. He says, the instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are what? Trustworthy, making wise the simple. Who is a simple man? A simple man is a man without wisdom. It's not dressing simple. The Bible wanted to be polite. It's actually foolish. It makes wise the foolish. So listen to me. The key to healing foolishness in your life is the word of God. I'm teaching good here. A lot of foolish decisions will never be taken if the word of God is an anchor. Now, that doesn't mean I've not taken foolish decisions. I've taken some. But anytime I discover from the word of God, I am seeing God's wisdom from the word. Unfortunately, we have swapped our Bibles with our phones. Those times, the early Christians slept with their Bibles. Now we sleep with our phones. And unfortunately, when we wake up in the morning, the first thing we do is to check who has texted us. Without checking what message God has texted to us through his word. Satan is so wise. I saw a verse in Matthew chapter 20, chapter 7, the verse 24 to 27. And I've read this verse, but because of the subject I'm teaching, it makes so much sense to me now. He says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is what? Follows it is wise. And look what he says. Like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Look at that. Next verse. He says, though the rains come in and torrents and the flood waters. Look at the category of things. The torrents, the flood waters rise and the winds beat against that house. It won't collapse because it is built on a bedrock. You know what he's saying? Your wisdom is your bedrock. Do you understand this thing? How wise you are in the word of God and your practice of it is your bedrock. Because listen to me, it is troubles and afflictions that test the kind of wisdom you are made of. It was temptation that tested what Joseph was made of. So listen to me, you are not wise until you have been tested. You see, some of you look holy because money hasn't come. Some of you, your erection is gone down because money hasn't come. Some of you look so humble because you have not been tested. I'm telling you. The day 100,000 drops your account, you come to church again. There was a pastor who was pastoring a church. I'm told he pastored for about 10 years. And then he won super bet. 1 million Ghana cedis. And he closed the church. He closed the church. So he was trying to say that this church I'm doing is for money. Once money came, there's no need for church. Tell us about the super bet. A super. I'm teaching with you. Now look at the next verse. Now this is talking to those who don't want to be wise in the word of God. He says, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which builds his house upon what? Sand. Listen, what are you building your life on? Hear me carefully. If you don't know scripture, you don't have future. If you don't know scripture, you don't have future. Because it's only the word of God that can design, frame your future for you. So how come you want good future without scripture? It's not possible. So running from scripture is running from future. So some of you, we can predict your end by what you are doing with scripture. So we need to understand that the Bible is the compendium of wisdom. It is a compendium of wisdom. The Bible remains the final authority for finding meaning, explanation, and source of wisdom. When it comes to the true meaning of wisdom, everything rises or falls on the Bible. When it comes to the true meaning of wisdom, everything rises or falls on the Bible. Quickly, number four, the fourth way of accessing divine wisdom is fearing God. Tonight, I'm going to hit you hard with the word of God, and it will straighten you and make you a better Christian. The fear of God. Now, come with me to the book of Proverbs chapter 9, the verse 10. Now, this is a very simple verse of scripture, but very profound. The Bible says, you know, I think some people want to ask, so how do I get wisdom? They think it's a very mystical thing. He says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So you want to access wisdom, simple, fear God. Once a Christian is beginning to fear God, he is beginning the journey of wisdom. So hear me carefully. If there is no fear of God in you, I am sorry, you cannot partake of the heavenly wisdom. I'm telling you. What is the fear of God? Fear of God is not running away from God. When Adam sinned, that thing that made him hide from God is a fear that came from the fall. The original intended fear God wanted to have in man was reverence. You see, God is our Father, but we must still fear Him. My son knows that I love him, but he knows his boundary. He knows where he can take a cane. So he knows daddy loves him, but he fears daddy. I said some funny thing to someone yesterday. My daughter likes biting people, especially me. But surprisingly, she can't bite the mother. Why? She beats the mother and the mother beat her. Since that day, she has never beaten the man again. But she knows the man loves her, but she can't bite. So she'll bring her tongue to her man like that, and then she'll go. But when she brings her teeth to me, she'll bite me. Now, what has happened is that she now fears her mom. So there are some things she can't try. So the fear of God is absolute reverence and high esteem and respect and regard we have for God. Reverence, high esteem, regard, and respect for God. You see, our forefathers didn't have as much revelation as we have today. But what made a difference in their life is the fear of God. They didn't have scriptures. They didn't have the kind of scriptures, the kind of teachings we are hearing today on the internet. But they feared God more than us. We have all the messages in the world today, but no fear of God. Right from the pulpit to the pew. I'm told of a pastor in Nigeria who slept with a 13-year-old girl on his altar. These are things even an unbeliever will not do because he knows where he should fire. He knows. It can't be in church. He knows. It's the fear of God that will make you run from money you know you did not work for. When nobody is there watching you. Listen to me. Your real attitude is what you do when no one is watching. And you see, I gave a scenario the last time. It's a simple question. Can you have sex in front of your biological father, even if the woman is your wife? If your father is standing there, can you? You can't. You know why? Because of his presence. Even your son or your child, you can't have sex in their presence. You have to make sure they are asleep. Hey. So you can't even do it in their presence. But the challenge of many of us is that when you thought you locked that door, you actually forgot that the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. You forgot in Psalm 139, which says that whither shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I hide from your presence? When I ascend to heaven, you are there. When I make my bed in hell, you are there. When I take up the wings of the morning to dwell in the uttermost part of the seas, even there you hold me and your right hand upholds me. So David is saying, hell, heaven, see, that place, God is there. How much more your single room? So God is saying that we should develop a certain conscious nearness of his presence so we know that there is no one there, but there's someone here. That's the fear of God. There was no one in the room when Potiphar's wife told Joseph, let's have a good time and let me promote you. It was only the fear of God. When you read your Bible, it was clear. It was the fear of God that made Joseph run. And hear me carefully. In this area, thing called sex, I'm preparing a message on the mystery of sex. Can I shock you? Any sex that is had outside of marriage does not have God's protection. You see, unfortunately, many think that they can wear protection and escape. Can I shock you? You can wear protection and still not be protected. I'm speaking a mystery. Many Christians don't know this thing. There is no protection from God, from angels, on any sexual activity that has not been made by covenants through marriage. God doesn't protect it, which means it's a very dangerous place to be. God's protection is not there. So if the devil wants to take advantage, God cannot help you. When you are married and you are having sex, angels are guarding you. They are preserving you. They're like, wow, I was killed, so hey. It's a blessing. The angels are happy. I'm teaching. The blessings of God is on it. But any sexual activity God didn't put by covenant doesn't have his backing, doesn't have his protection. And this is the secret to many life problems Christians are going through today. The fear of God. Sometimes the fear of God can make you look foolish. The fear of God can make you look like you are stupid according to the standard of this world. But hear me carefully. The fear of God, according to scripture, is the beginning of wisdom. I fear God. I fear God to sing and hold the microphone. I fear God. I fear God. So hear me carefully. If you don't have reverence for God, I'm telling you, your life will be in shambles. You can steal and not care. When we're doing the building project, we had some people who came to come and steal things from, come and steal iron rod. People, see, somebody cried on his offering and came to kneel down in church. He said, Lord, this is my last. And he put it on the altar. We put it together. We've bought iron rod. You came to steal it. Hey! So the person came to pour his problems and you came to collect it. It is only a man who does not have the fear of God that will do certain things. Tell somebody, I fear him. Number five, the fifth way of accessing wisdom is association. Proverbs chapter 13, the verse 20. Please note this. He says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Listen, to a large extent, the success of your future is determined by the people around you. I'm telling you. I'm here because of the people I surround myself with. I started walking. God gave me the privilege of being close to Prophet and Apostle Pokusa Akodie, Prophet Achumanase. That association blessed me. That man has built a city. My connection has given me the opportunity to build this. Listen, if I didn't get close to Prophet Nanase, like, you guys will be in a hen's coop. An auditorium that can take only 150 people. When we're about to start the project, a pastor told me that, man of God, just do it according to your size. Don't bother yourself plenty. Just put some small structure there and move in. With time, as God is blessing you, you can expand. I didn't see that. You know why? I fellowship with people who see big things that have become big. I'm not yet big, but I've become big in my mind. Hear me carefully. You cannot walk with giants and take dwarf steps. I'm teaching good here. So listen, walk with people that will challenge your spirit, man. People that will help you to think bigger. If you're around people who are always complaining, what can we do? When we close your, do you see how I was walking? These people. See, you won't go anywhere. I'm telling you the truth. He says, walk with the wise and you will be wise. So one pastor came here and says, man of God, this one day you are settled forever. I said, me, settled forever? This hen coop? This small auditorium? I said, we are about to do the other. The main project is beginning by the end of this year. This place can take 1,500 people. And even that one, I'm thinking of the next overflow. So we want to buy this land and start thinking of another plan for it. I'm telling you. My mindset has shifted. I can never think small. Meanwhile, I don't have the money. No, I'm telling you, we started the project with 7,000 Ghana cedis. And we have spent 1.4 million Ghana cedis. Where is it coming from? Your mindset is a magnet. My goodness. Listen, don't settle for less. If you are with God, the Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Now, can you imagine that if God was thinking small and he created the whole world in a small place, where will you sleep? Up to now, there are still lands because God knows there will be expansion. My goodness, I'm teaching good here. Don't think small. Work with people who are big thinkers. So listen, your association. See, there are some attitudes that will leave you when you start working with certain people. Last will run away. Listen, there is power in fellowship. There is power in fellowship. There are some situations you have been trying to battle for some time. There's no solution. Just associate yourself with the right people. Something will shift from your life. People who love Jesus. People who love God. Christians who are businessmen. They can shift you. Give you a mindset. Do it this way. Do it this way. Working with the wise will make you wise. So if you want to access wisdom, check your association. Look, in the Bible, there was a king's friend, in fact, his cousin. David's brother had a son called Jonadab. And David had a son called Amnon. There was one day, Amnon fell in love with his own sister, stepsister. And he went to discuss it with Amnon. He says, I don't know. I'm falling for my sister. I'm having feelings for my sister. You know what he said? You are a king's boy. Come on, come. Let me show you the secret. Call her. Call your dad and tell your dad that I want my sister to prepare a boom for me. It's actually kick. I'm speaking in today's time. It would have been a boom. And when the king permits and she comes with it, tell her to come into the inner chambers. When she comes, finish her. That was the counsel his friend gave to him. And guess what? He obeyed what his friend told him, slept with his own sister, and Absalom, his brother, waited for 3 years without saying a word. He will see him say, Amnon, at the same, Bibiabako, Yaminka, why? He kept it here. Amnon! Yeah, your party kakra, but you're not around. Why? In his mind, he was laughing with him. At the party, he murdered his own brother. So listen, his life was cut short because of the counsel from a wrong friend. Be careful. Anybody who has given you advices which has landed you in trouble, I beg you, be bold enough to block them, cut them off. Cut them off and let them go. If you don't know how to release certain people from your life, you are not ready to release your destiny. Those times, cutting people off was one of the difficult things for me. I couldn't. How would they feel? How would it be? If I cut myself from this guy, how would it feel? I learned much. Cutting myself off people who are not fruitful in my life. It's one of the easiest things I can do. Which friend are you keeping? Which kind of association, which group are you in? I'm told there's a group that sends pornography videos and you are part of the group. What? Accra Academy, eh? Business Association. I have actually put them on mute for 1 year. When next year comes, I'll put them there again. I wish there was 8 years. Because this will post this. They say, when I'm having a reunion, the reunion is in Sankuanim Basem. What am I going to do then? Listen, if you are focused, you move with focused people. Tell somebody, be focused and work with the right people. People that will advise you. People that will show you the right path. If you're about to sin and you tell the person, Charlie, I've been burning. Then you ask, which fire is that? He said, this one is not the fire of the Holy Ghost. Come. He takes you to a room, he prays 1 hour with you and releases you. By the time you realize, was his mind free? You need that. Tell someone you need that friend. Man of God, you're welcome. You need that friend. You need that friend. Listen, friends is the most dangerous thing. Who you walk with. Do you know the relationship between David and Jonathan? How it ended? Jonathan was a friend who even gave secrets. He gave David intelligence about his father's intentions for him. And that's how he delivered David. Do you have a friend who can cover you and protect you? That when you tell him this, you hear it the next day. You need the right friends. This morning, may God give you the right friends. And there are some friends, I understand, it's very difficult to cut off. God himself will cut them off. In the name of Jesus. Number six, the seed access to divine wisdom is impartation. Impartation. Deuteronomy chapter 34, the verse 9. Deuteronomy 34, the verse 9. Now watch that. He says, and Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of what? Wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. My goodness. That is impartation. In Numbers chapter 11, the verse 16 and 17. The Bible says, and the Lord said to Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them to the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. Look at the next verse. The Bible says, and I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the spirit which is upon thee, and I will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, but thou bear it not thyself alone. That is impartation. So now, there is wisdom which you can access by impartation. 1 Timothy chapter 4, the verse 14. Now watch that out. 1 Timothy 4, 14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. My goodness. Now, what is impartation? Impartation is a transfer of a portion of grace from one person to another. It's a transfer of a portion of grace from one person to another. Don't joke with this impartation. Very powerful. It's a transfer of a portion of grace. Note that I didn't say transfer of entire grace. I've been doing ministry at least for 16 years now. If you come to me for impartation, I cannot impart the 16 years ministry into you. It's not possible. Because inside the 16 years was affliction. It was 40 days, 40 nights, water and coconut water. 100 days. Last year, I fasted 325 days. Last year. Last 2 years, fasted 285 days. Can I impart it? I can't impart 24-hour prayer into you. But I can give you a portion of the grace that God has given to me. Are you getting that? So impartation is very key. Why is impartation important? Because impartation has the power to accelerate your spiritual growth. It has the power to accelerate your spiritual growth. So some things you can't do by yourself. Impartation can enable you to arrive there when you are not yet there. I'm teaching good here. So, impartation comes to help lay a foundation for the future of your ministry. Don't joke with impartation, but you need to be careful who impacts you. Because there are some people who can impact lust into you. Impartation. One of my sons in the faith went for a wedding in a church. He's a general overseer of a church. And when he went, the general overseer who blessed the wedding came to shake him and told him, "Ah, you man of God, everything's fine." He shook him. When he went home, that day he had a dream that the man of God appeared to him in the dream and had put his hands on his thigh and was holding his pen drive and massaging it. And he woke up. Since that day, any woman he sees, he wants to sleep with the woman. What kind of meditation is this? So he was very wise. He ran and came to me. I laid hands on him and poured oil on him. That was the end. The thing left. Who is imparting you? Who's imparting you? So how does impartation come? It comes by the laying on of hands. That's number one. Number two, it comes by prophetic utterance. That's why I said, don't joke with any session we do in church. Sometimes I may not be the one standing here, but someone standing here says, lift your hands. Say this after me. Thank you, Jesus. Then you are sitting down, you're not saying it. You want an impartation. It's not possible. So number two is prophetic utterance. Number three is prayer. Number four is teaching and instructions. Some of you can go to the podcast and my messages, sleep with it. Just be playing it and sleeping. Something will be entering you the more you are listening to my teachings. It's a spirit. It's a transfer. Something will enter you as you are listening. And that's the impartation. So some of the things you want to understand that is difficult for you, you can receive it by impartation. One of the quickest ways of receiving impartation from a man of God is by listening to his teachings. And if you are here and you listen to any other person more than me, I didn't say don't listen to anybody. If you listen to any other person more than me, you are not with me. I'm teaching you the truth. I'm your father. I'm the one grooming you. I'm the one feeding you with the word of God. So it is very vital to understand that the one feeding you is the one you feed with. Very important. So you can't listen to my teaching on Sunday and expect impartation. No. Let's work that way. You have to listen on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You come back on Sunday. You can't do this for the next 6 months and something will enter you. Something will enter you. Number seven, guidance through fellowship with the Holy Spirit. That's the seventh way of accessing wisdom. Guidance through the fellowship with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost is a revealer. He's a revealer. The Holy Spirit can guide you in several means. He can give you wisdom that does not make sense. And one of the things I always love to share when I'm sharing with people who are around me is what happened when we were doing the building project. I told Mr. Karish to design some video of the project and what we're about to do so we can post it on social media. I said, Apostle Michael Rocco has done it. Apostle Arome has done it. Apostle Edu has done it. They have made requests for people who follow them on Facebook who have been blessed by their ministry to send seeds to help building project. We are almost done. I was about to post it and God says, son, the day you post it, you will build the church yourself. And I started weeping in my heart. I said, God, we are not up to 100. And even the 100. let me just continue with my teaching. Even 100, how much can they give me for this huge work? I said, God, you want to kill me? You want to kill me? And I went into prayer and fasting. Listen, sometimes if God wants to do something with you, on the outside, it doesn't seem like. But listen, believe God. He will give you so many directions on how to accomplish it. You see, many of you have too many options. That's why God can't help you. When we started the project, I didn't have an option. No option. Because, no matter anybody that helps me, we still can't finish it. That's the truth. So it got to a time when somebody gives me 1,000 Ghana cedis. It's like one cedi. So only God can help. I'm telling you. I'll be praying and God says, when you are done, do this. There was a time we were looking for iron rods. Worth 270,000 for the iron rods here. The one at the top here. I was praying for God, give me money, because a time will come, I'll be there, people will give me, this one send me 20,000, 30,000, 40,000. So I was happy. A time came, nothing. I said, God, what is happening? Have I sinned against you? What's going on? I was praying, God, we need funds because we can't stop the project. And God says, son, do you remember you wrote a book 2 years ago in 2020 doing your first 40 days fasting? I said, yes. He said, go and take it. Finish the book and launch it. I'll give you money. I went to take the book. I've done about 70% already. I used 2 months to complete the book. We launched it. God gave us 130,000 Ghana cedis. Now, I've done book launch 5 times. There was one, I even launched 10 books. I had 30,000. So, I used 2 years to finish paying the printer. So, what I'm telling you is no joke. I launched only 2 books. And God gave us 130,000. Let me tell you something. If God speaks, he backs. So hear me carefully. You cannot do life without direction from the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you the truth. We're about to start a project. We have 15,000. God says, take 7,000. I'll show you a church that has built something similar to what you want to build. Go and sow the seed there. Does it make sense? You are about to start a project that is very high, and God says, go and do it. I remember when in the former place, we were praying, God, give us a land, give us a land. In 20-something December, I was in prayer. God said, when you begin that new year, that was 2 years ago, every offering, every tithe, every seed, for 6 months, don't touch it. Now, does it make sense? How does a church survive without offerings, tithe, for 6 months? You don't know what it means. You know, some of you just come to church, you come and enjoy this AC. You don't know what it goes into it. You don't know. Now that you have moved here, hey! Everything you are seeing is running with money every single time. And we went, it was almost 40-something thousand. Those times I told you, you'd be offended, so I didn't tell anybody. When Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac, he didn't tell Sarah. There are some sacrifices and some things God tells you to do. You don't need to tell people about it. When you finish and it's a blessing, you tell them. And we took it. We took it. And Prophet Anapokusa Akwadi was the one that the Lord said we should go and give it to. And when the day I handed over the money, to me, Mr. Sano, ten city, into your bag, ne ma, sebe ya uhuan, ye machino. So it was in a bag like that, and I was telling the pastors that, like, I have a seat for the man of God. So when they saw the bag, they all opened the door for me, and I came there like that. She didn't even know what I mean. I came like that. I said, Daddy, please, the Lord said we should give. So when he saw the bag, he gave me a certain attention. I knew he would curse me after he opens the bag. But you see, I understand the principle. After Isaac blessed Jacob, and then Esau came, he said, no, what I've done, he will be blessed, surely. So he can't change his mouth again. You have to be smart, though. Sometimes turn the money. Don't bring me one CD. I'll curse you. Don't turn it into one CD note. I may curse you. And then he blessed me and blessed the church. And he said, I see a huge auditorium that can take over 2,000 people. When he said, I open my eye and watch him, I said, ah. He said, okay, that's fine. Beloved, we were still waiting. Nothing was happening. A year later, after obeying that leading, it was raining. In fact, that day, my house flooded. So, already, I drink ground to me. So, we're finding a way to collect the things. We don't know how that heavy rain that came some time ago. And I was thinking, and someone called me. He says, can you please come home? May come home when it's past 7 o'clock. I said, please, can we make it tomorrow? He said, please, man of God, come now. I said, hey. So I entered the car and I moved. We moved there. And the man, when I got there, it was like a comachino. He says, man of God, please, I'm coming. He went and brought a check. He says, the Lord said I should empty my project account and give it to you to buy a land. So I was like, 20 and now 50,000. And I opened the envelope. Guess what? 400,000 Ghana cedis. How much did I say we want to give to Prof. Sack? 40,000. We want to pay a tithe of the 400,000. It didn't make sense. So the Holy Ghost can lead you to do some things. There are some of you here, you are waiting for us to say we are doing 21 days. Meanwhile, the Holy Ghost is resonating within you. Do 7 days. And you are eating. Maybe a miracle is coming. God wants you to trap the miracle. You are still eating. Listen, there is a wisdom that comes only by the Holy Ghost. When you walk with him, he downloads it into your spirit. May you receive that impartation today. May the Holy Ghost bring direction to your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now let me finish this before we continue next week. Benefits of divine wisdom. I wish I could explain, but because of time, my series will be too long. Number one, wisdom gives you protection. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 12. The Bible says, for wisdom is a defense. So listen, the wisdom you have will protect you. If you see a verse like flee this, flee that, God is protecting you. So wisdom is a protection for the believer. It gives you protection. Proverbs chapter 2, the verse 6 to 15. You can go home and do that. Number two, wisdom brings increased knowledge. Wisdom brings increased knowledge. Now listen to me, it's very important. There's a kind of knowledge that comes only by practice. It is only when you practice that you know. Right now, there are things I've come to know, which is experiential. It's not information. It's experience. It's a certain kind of knowledge. The Bible says Adam knew Eve and she conceived. That knowledge is not legal knowledge. It's a knowledge that brought intimacy between he and Eve that produced children. So there's a certain kind of knowledge which is experience based. And it can only come when you practice the knowledge you receive. That's how you can increase in that knowledge. Are you following this thing? Number three, wisdom brings clear guidance from God. Now, it's very important to know that the Bible gives you the general will of God and the Holy Ghost gives you the specific will of God. Now, let me put it also in this way. The general will of God can be found in the Bible, but the specific will of God can be found in the Spirit. Interesting. General will of God. Give thanks, for this is the will of God. Flee fornication. This is the will of God. Give is the will of God. That's the general will of God. But who you are going to marry? The name of the guy is not in the Bible. The name of the business you want to do is not in the Bible. That's the specific will of God. So listen to me. The specific will of God is not found in any page of scripture. It's in the Holy Ghost. And you have to seek the Holy Ghost for guidance to have a release of that kind of wisdom. So listen, wisdom brings clear guidance from God. Now, it's very important to understand this. As much as Jesus was the Son of God, if Joseph, his father or stepfather, if I should say, did not listen to the guidance of the angel who said flee to Egypt, they would have killed our Savior. Someone says, nobody can kill our Savior. If nobody can kill him, why did he tell him to run? I'm teaching good here. It brings guidance from the Spirit. You see, a lot of Christians are not sensitive. You've been having a certain dream over and over and over again. You have done nothing about it. Be careful. Sometimes the Holy Spirit can impress something in your heart. Now this is so do this. Don't do this. You don't feel like doing the thing. You want to give because generally the word of God says you should give. That's the general will of God. But probably the person you are giving to is not of a good spirit. That one comes by the specific will of God. So if you only know the general will of God, you are not safe. So some have given themselves into trouble. There was a man I saw in the traffic who came to ask me for money. Normally I give them. I was about to give, the Holy Ghost says, don't give him. And I turned my back. And he just watched me like that. He was shocked how I put the money back. The Holy Ghost says, don't give him. I'm teaching good here. A man of God went to Germany. And he went for some shopping there. When he was in the shopping, was doing the shopping, and then he saw a mother with like a 5-year-old daughter. They were walking in the mall, and the Holy Ghost says, go and slap the girl. He said, Holy Ghost, who name said, Obi Manson Amaban. The Holy Ghost says, go and slap her. He watched the girl like this, and he watched his future in the prison. The Holy Ghost says, go and slap her on the right side. So he went, in fear, and he just slapped the girl. Pah! And the woman was like, you stop. Ah! Then he heard the daughter say, mommy, I can hear. Apparently, the daughter has been deaf in right ear from birth. It was a slap. Someone says, man of God. So what if it was you? I also want to ask you, what if it was you? And the Holy Ghost said, slap that boy there, or slap the soldier. The soldier needs healing. Slap him. Hey! I'm teaching good here. So now, number one. Four. Wisdom brings grace. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 9. Wisdom brings grace. Now, another benefit of wisdom is that it brings grace. And grace is simply God in a race. So you are going on a race with many people, but God is the one going for your race for you. That's called grace. So you don't apply effort, but things happen. That's grace. So wisdom compels the hand of God to help a man. Because you are walking by divine wisdom, you will have the help from God. And that is called grace. Look at that. Now, Proverbs chapter 4 speaks of wisdom. He says, She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. That's what this is, not a female. If you read Proverbs, you realize that he's speaking about wisdom. Quickly, next point, number 5. It brings honor. Proverbs 4:8b. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 8b. He says, she shall bring to thee honor when thou embrace her. Listen, if you want to be honored, or you want to have honor, walk with divine wisdom. Next point. Wisdom brings promotion. Listen to me. If you are here in this church, you know, you need to understand that promotion does not come by bringing people down. It's a very selfish, carnal kind of attitude. If you go to our offices today in the government areas, in the private companies and all that, you see Christians going to church who are bringing people down to go up. You don't need to destroy anybody to be promoted. You need wisdom. You gossip about it. He doesn't deserve to be promoted. I've been here for the past 10 years. Nobody has said anything about me. He came in the next 2 years. You have promoted me. I'll do everything possible to bring you down. Listen, promotion cometh not from the east or not from the west. It comes by wisdom. The way your boss sees that you come to church early, you come to work early, the Holy Ghost wakes you up and says, go to work early. Make sure you go 30 minutes before time. Your boss may see you. He will see you are there, you pray, you do your morning devotion, and the security man is watching you. Say, hey, what kind of guy is this? You saw that there was rubbish on the floor. The Holy Ghost says, pick it up. Meanwhile, there's somebody who is sweeping you. Someone is sweeping. The Holy Ghost says, pick it up. You pick it up and make sure that you are getting the company. And maybe someone is telling the boss that this guy, he can take care of the company. You know why? Because the company is at heart for him. Now, that wisdom came from the Holy Ghost, instructing you to do things. And the Holy Ghost is watching you when two people are fighting. Instead of you joining the fight, you want to say, no, let's not do this. Are you a Christian? It's maybe, no. Two Christians, you can't do that. It's against the Lord. Never do that again. You are disgracing Jesus, and you bring them together. You realize the next day they were trying to do it, then you buy cake for both of them, or fathers will put it. Let's eat together. And somebody's watching. That wisdom you are operating with, that's how come Daniel shined in a country that was not his own. He was in Babylon, yet they found him 10 times better. What was that spirit? It's the spirit of excellence and wisdom. Tonight, receive an impartation of heavenly wisdom in the name of Jesus. She shall promote thee. Proverbs 4a. She shall promote thee. She'll promote you. She'll promote you. Next point. Wisdom makes you relevant to your generation. Wisdom makes you relevant to your generation. In 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 23, the Bible says, all men came from across the world to hear the wisdom God had put in Solomon's heart. When you walk in wisdom, great people will come to you. Let me finish this. Next point, wisdom brings favor from God and man. Wisdom brings favor from God and from man. Let's finish this thing quickly. Next point, God's wisdom brings strength and power from God. Divine wisdom brings strength and power from God. Quickly, next point. Wisdom brings peace, contentment, and happiness. It takes wisdom to settle marital issues. Yes, wisdom. Wisdom. Next point, wisdom brings prosperity. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 18. If you are poor, God is telling you it's not a poverty problem, it's a wisdom problem. Because one idea can change you forever. So poverty is not a money problem, poverty is a wisdom problem. I repeat again, poverty is not a money problem, poverty is a wisdom problem. Next point, wisdom brings good leadership. It brings good leadership. So we have three more to go. Wisdom brings long life. Next point. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 to 2. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Long life. Last but one, wisdom gives victory over satanic forces. Ephesians 3:10. Wisdom brings victory over satanic forces. Ephesians 3:10. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church unto principalities and powers. So God through wisdom wants the church to display his glory to all the demonic powers of this world. Listen to me. If you know how to cast out demons, there's a wisdom you have. If you know how to behave for demons to not influence your life, it's a wisdom you have. So God wants the church through wisdom to display the manifest glory of God to all the demons of this world. They look at you, become a mystery. They try to send an attack, it doesn't work. They throw missiles spiritually, it doesn't work. They give you poison, it doesn't work. Because there is a wisdom operating in your life. You can imagine, there is no food I eat without praying. Even when I'm drinking bottled water, I pray over them. Because I have an intelligence. You don't know the one who cooked it. You don't know the one who prepared it. Even there are some dresses from boutiques, I'm told they put it in a shrine before they put it in the shop. There are some watch sellers and bean sellers. The oil they sell, the zobi you have been requesting for the seer, there's a snake inside. That water you have been eating and licking your hand, there's a power behind it if you don't know. So don't live your life casually. We sanctify our food. You know when I pray when I get food? I say, Father, sanctify this food with the blood of Jesus. And take away every bondage of corruption from this food. I eat this food to your glory. And I ask that you feed the hungry in Jesus' name. That's how I pray over food. That's wisdom. Right now, they said, if you want to eat tomatoes, you have to make them grow it from Koforidua. Right now, I don't even have the money. So if they're saying that this is not good. So what will we eat at the end of the day? Praise God. I went to do some checkup. They said, this thing is high. This thing is a little high. Manage it a little. And I started eating vegetables. And me jai. Use this oil. They say the oil is how much? 250 Ghana cedis. I bought it. Me jai, mean to me, Bium. I just pray over the food. Lord, I declare by the heavenly hand, make this food healthy in my body. Simple. Listen, we have something. Tell somebody, we have something. We have something. Glory! We call that divine wisdom. Finally, are you ready for this? Wisdom leads to glory. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 35. The end point of wisdom is glory. Now look, he says the wise shall inherit glory. This is the point I've been making all this while. That the first pursuit of wisdom, or of the manifestation of the glory of God, is what? It's wisdom. So the end of wisdom is glory. If you want to see the manifestation of the glory of God in your life, pursue wisdom from above. And give yourself time. Something will shift in your life. In the name of Jesus.